There we go. I'm sorry about that, folks at home. Although you can turn the volume down at your TV if you'd like, it'd be all right. Holy Family, Galatians chapter 3, starting about verse 23 and following on toward the end of that chapter, Galatians chapter 3. It's who we are. We are a holy family. And you know, that's troublesome for us. The curtain motto is, should we go see family for the holidays or enjoy them instead? Anybody have that family out there? Don't raise your hand. What about your in-laws? Yeah, you got to love them too, don't you? And you don't get to pick your kids' spouses, do you? I did have a lady in one of my churches very upset with her son-in-law, and serious as I can be, she said, I don't know why she didn't marry her cousin. He's so much like us. There you go. There you go. I pastored this church, and first Sunday I made the mistake of joking that we're close enough to Mississippi where it's legal to marry your cousins. And anybody from Mississippi? Kate? I'm so sorry. There's Molly. And I found out I had members that had. Yeah. It wasn't so funny back then, but yes, we did. Galatians chapter 3 starts out like this. We were guarded under the law. We were locked up until faith that was coming would be revealed to us. The law was our custodian until Christ, so that we might be made righteous by faith. But now faith has come, and we don't any longer need that custodian. We're good to go. We needed laws back then, just like we need laws today. We just struggle with being obedient on our own. You know, you talk to your kids and they didn't read their book or they didn't do their homework, and you wonder where they get that stuff from. They get it from you. Any of you, and poor John, I don't know if John's still in the room, but John Simonson, police officer, how many times do we hear, where's a cop when you need him when they're doing something wrong? I have, yes, had that experience of saying that myself a few times. Yesterday, I'm in a meeting late in the afternoon, and somebody stood up and asked the mayor, why don't the policemen make people pick up the droppings of their dogs? Is that a law? Anybody? Is that a law? 100 years ago, I used to go to traffic school some. Anybody ever been to traffic school? Who said that? Okay, Brett. You know you've been several times too many when they ask you to be on the board of directors. I served on the board of directors for traffic school. Here's an odd law for you. In the state of Alabama, it is illegal to drive your car without windshield wipers. Do you know that? But it's not illegal to drive your car if it doesn't have a windshield. So if you were driving yesterday without a windshield, as long as you had your wipers on, you're good to go. I am 100% serious. I served on the board of directors for that. We struggle with obeying the laws on our own, but we want others to obey. We want the government out of our business, but into theirs. We want the cops to pick them up, but not us. Now, I want to give a little praise to Foley United Methodist. I've only counted about three of what I call post-a-note religion around our church. But a lot of the churches I serve, there's a post-a-note on every door. Don't open this door. Don't touch the thermostat. Don't go in there. Keep this door closed. Keep this door open. Keep this lid open. Keep this lid closed. It's everywhere. And one of the first two things I like to do when I come into a church, one, if it hadn't been painted in 30 years, that's not the color you want today. So I have un-green churches, I have un-yellowed churches, and I un-beige churches. Why would you paint it? We just painted it 35 years ago. The other thing, I like to destroy the post-it notes. Because rarely do you put them up for you not to turn the thermostat. Served a church once where during the service, usually in the summer and the winter, I had two ladies. They sat on each opposite sides of the church, and one would get up and go adjust the thermostat. She'd sit down, the other lady would get up and change it back. She'd get up and go change it back. She'd get up and go change it. And they're relatives, I tell you. But we went through this 2, 3, 4 times a service. And the post-it note was above it that said, do not touch the thermostat. We need laws. But typically we want other folks to obey them. And the post-it note, my goodness. Anybody remember the song? Signs, signs, everywhere signs. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. That can be us. And I want to just tell you, the holiest service, the most righteous people at Foley United Methodist attend the park service, because there's not one post-it note on a tree out there. There is no sign saying, that's my tree, don't sit there. There is no one saying, that's my shade, you're not allowed to sit there. So why is this in the text? Why does it say that we used to have laws, we need laws, but now things are changing? In the next little passage, the slide with the heart on it, I think you're seeing that. The author tells us, you are all God's children. You're all God's children because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of you were baptized into Christ, and you have been clothed with Christ yourself. The verbiage back then of clothed in Christ, abide in Christ, live in Christ, be in Christ, we are in Christ, all of that was an expression that whoever you were in Christ, you have chosen to embody the person of Jesus, to embody the personality of Jesus. And at this point in church history, already the arguments had begun. What is a believer? What rules does a believer have to follow? Can they eat pork? Do they have to be circumcised? Does this have to happen? Do they need to be a part of this? Do they need to believe that? Throughout our history, the ways we've solved that sometimes is by pinning creeds. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Modern Creed, the Korean Creed, the Apollo Creed. We have put those out there because we're trying to define these are the basics. And we are a creedal church. The Catholics are a creedal church. The Baptists are a creedal church. Now, they may not read it on Sunday, but the tenet was, if you believe these things, nothing else matters. But the arguments had begun. How does a believer act? What does someone who calls themselves one of us have to do? And what do we do with those people? What do we do with those Gentiles, which, by the way, is you? What do we do with those half-Jews? You know, what are we going to do with those people who married Sumerians? What about the pagans? What are we going to do with those people who used to belong to this cult, but now they're one of us? What are we going to do with slaves? People own them. And honestly, in this day and time, there were very few citizens. Slave is probably not the best word, servant. And anyone who wasn't a citizen of Rome was deemed a servant or a slave of Rome. And then here's the big one. What the heck are we going to do with women? Who's laughing out there? Because women are leading this church. Women are running this show. Women are having meetings in their homes. Women, Phoebe, Lois, Eunice, Lydia. This is just something we don't do, people. Why, Jesus has upset this whole apple cart. And the author, Paul's response is, you are all God's children. Every single one of you are God's children. The missional community meeting tonight is at 5. It's right here in this room. It is, as John said, where we are going to try to revamp, redo, re-infuse, energize, whatever the right word would be. What we're hoping is that everyone who worships here would find some place that they can serve and to give. For I think, the slide here on missional communities, our values, and every one of us have values. We believe there are Christian values, there are these values, there are American values. But a value in itself is of little value unless it is expressed in how we live our lives. And a religious, a Christian, a spiritual value must be lived out in the mission. Well, we really care about the poor as Jesus told us to. So what do you do about it? Well, we got to put some wheels on that. Because if it is truly a value, it will be noticed. It will be lived out. The public will see, sense, and know that that is who we are as the family of God. The next thing about our values is that they are lived out in our mission, and the strength of our mission will be determined by the size of our vision. I've seen churches of 40 start full-service health clinics by partnering with other agencies. Churches of 40. The size of your vision will determine the strength of your mission. There are people who want to achieve that have nothing, and they work and they plan and they prepare, and it becomes. And so as Foley United Methodist Church, we do not just want to speak our values, but we want to live them out. We want to live them out before our community so there is no doubt. We want to leave no doubt about who we are and how we feel about the people. Oh, you are so bold. You've heard me say this before. You guys put it all on the line when you developed the slogan, Foley UMC loves you. Now you got to do it. Wow. So tonight at 5 here in the well, we'll talk about this. You're all God's children. So what does that mean? Paul will say, if you will belong to Christ. This seems important. You know, the big words that we find, salvation, grace, the important words, but most often the little tiny words are vital. If we belong to Christ, this is one of our core beliefs and values. There's no more Jew and Greek. And back then, yes, we may not think Jews are a race today, but they thought they were. There were Jews and there was everybody else. Do you know the Maasai warriors in Africa? I don't know if they still do, but for centuries believed that every cow on the planet belonged to them. The cows our farmers raise here, they own them in their minds. And back in this day, there was Jewish people and there were you. There is no more Jew. And there is no more Greek. There's no more servant. There is no more slave. And there's no more free people. There's no more male. And there's no more female. You are all one in Christ. What do you do about this? You see, you are all one in Christ. Indeed, you are part of Abraham's family. Every one of you are heirs. You all have equal footing. What equalizes us is the cross. For each and every human on the planet at some point in our lives, whether it is a physical or an internal spiritual thing, will bow at the cross. And we must look around the room and realize that we are all the same and we are all equal. There is no more rich, there is no more poor. And may I even say in the line of Jew and Gentile, there are no more races and there are no more unchurched. There are simply people who have not yet been awakened to the presence of God in their lives. If we are in Christ, we have chosen to embody, to embrace the personality of Jesus in our lives. Then we will see others as we see ourselves. We can't look down on others. And we have to tend to others as we wished people would tend to us. One of the great theologians and philosophers of the past generation, many of you won't remember this man, it was Groucho Marx. You see him on the wall. Groucho Marx said, I don't think I'd ever join a club that would have me as a member. Can you imagine the power of a church if every soul that walked in the door had a sense of amazement that lived and grew throughout their life? That God had let me in. What happens to us over time is we develop the feeling that we belong here. And the only thing that lets us belong here is grace. The only thing that lets us in is God's grace for us. Which means the only thing about the what's next is who like me needs this grace. Alan Hirsch, in his book, The Forgotten Ways, it's up there for you. I've been thinking I might get my hair to do like Alan's. What do you think about that? That'd be good. The Forgotten Ways. One of the premises is we have replaced law. We have given law rather than choosing to live out the personality of Jesus. It's just easier. But he says that in a very real and sobering way, we are to actually, literally, become the gospel to the people around us. An expression of the real Jesus through the quality of our lives. You see, it is not our values, it is not our rules, it is not what we stand for, but it is how we live our lives. He is not a United Methodist, he's not a Wesleyan, and he says Wesleyanism, Methodism, was its most influential when it was a people movement, and it was reproducing like mad. I ate at this restaurant. I've got to tell you about it. I have to tell you what is happening to me. That's who we are. Here's a thought for you. My last church, we had gotten into a place. We needed some extra money to do some things. So I employed a fundraising service. They were called Generis. And we employed them to help us raise some money. And in our first meeting, I had to apologize to my people. I said, I need you to know that we need to do this, but my apology is that I have not been successful in motivating you to bring more people to church. One of the reasons we do fundraisers in church is we've quit inviting people to church, so we must get more money from each other. And without fail, and I don't know how it went here, but without fail, there's going to be some soul who comes up to the pastor and says, we've got to get them to give more. They need to pay their fair share. When the answer is, I'm so amazed that I'm here, I want you to be here too. I am so astounded that I fit in here, that I want you to be here too. I am so mesmerized that God will let me in, and I want you to be in as well. For the answer to everything a church dreams of, that a church hopes for, that a church aspires to, will always succeed or fail on this one premise. I will invite people, I won't invite people. I think I've told you the story of the choir. It was about 20, 25 people. They were a beautiful choir. Most of them were older, but much of choir music anymore is. They were singing out, and all of a sudden, two or three of them moved to be closer to their children. And then a few had to go into assisted living. And then a few died. That's one way to get out of the commitment of choir, isn't it? yeah, that's one way to say no. And then a few of them just felt they got too old and frail to go up the stairs. And eventually, we got down to eight, and I tell you the truth, five of the eight had dementia. Terrible illness. But they did love to sing, and they did sing. They just didn't always sing the same song. And so in the end, we had a meeting about whether we wanted more people to come into the choir. And this is what those who were of good mind said. Well, you know, nobody else likes to sing the old songs. Why, we don't want anyone who's going to want to sing anything but what we want to sing. And so they disbanded. They chose to disband rather than invite. My, my. Let me tell you something, parents out there. If you ever want grandkids, you're going to have to accept that you're going to need an in-law in your life. At least most of the time. Other people. It is the only way we will ever fulfill the dreams of being a church. To feed the poor, to tend to the needy, to welcome the hurting and the broken. And the magnificent thing about a town like Foley is there are people all over out there just like you. They have left their homes to move here. They have left their family to move here. They have left the things they hold dear, and they've sold their possessions because they don't fit in their houses. I know what that's like. They have come this way to eat seafood and to put their toes in the Gulf and to walk in the sand. But the one thing they're missing is family and friends. And the one thing you have to give is sanctuary, space, peace. A place where there is no agenda, no political jibber-jabber, where all we do is come in here to take the deep breath and to go, oh, they let me in again. Wow. When Philip was in kindergarten, very expressive child, Every day he'd come home from school and I'd say, "Son, Philip, how was your day?" And he'd go, "Dad, they had those rolls for lunch." Anybody remember school lunch rolls? Yeah, kin to Quincy yeast rolls. They were the size of a softball. I used to go to have lunch with him and say, "Can I just have rolls? That's all I want." And Philip would come home, he'd go, "Dad, I wanted to hear, is Jimmy your friend? Did you play with Susie? Did the teacher teach you math?" They had those rolls every day. Do you know when he got to junior high, and he's now playing a little football, and he's only this tall, but he's playing. Do you know what he'd say when he came home? "Gosh, I love those rolls." There are rolls here, people. They smell good. They taste good. But what they are for us is simply grace. It's the deep breath from the out there. It's the ability to come in here and fill your lungs and just stop for a minute. There's no news. There's no talk. There's no argue. There's no fuss. After a few years, there'll be no post-it notes. There'll be no beige. There's just the deep breath. Become the deep breath for those out there. Be kind. Give the person at the red light just another second before you honk. Wave with two fingers instead of one. Be careful of your jokes, for there might be someone listening who it hurts. Be Jesus. Be Jesus. And I think you'll find more than you give. Amen. See if I can get out of here without taking Kate's music.